God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Brother Hutchings, I can't remember when I've been so excited about a program as I am the one we're presenting today. Your guest, Dr. Carl Ball, brings amazing information from new archaeological discoveries in Israel. It's fascinating and exciting information that confirms the reliability of the Bible. Dr. Ball is among a small cadre of men Israeli archaeologists allowed to dig with them on new discoveries, and there's no question you'll want to hear every word he speaks today. Well, let's not take any more of his time. Here again is Brother Hutchings.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Dr. Ball is a staunch defender of God's truth that God created man and woman and everything that we see, and he set in motion the sun and the moon, and he created the firmaments. He is the source of all energy. Dr. Ball, according to the law of thermodynamics, the second law, nothing is being created today, is there?
That is correct. In fact, the first law of thermodynamics is the law of conservation of mass and energy. And it simply states that matter cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed. And then the second law is the law of entropy, that the organization within that mass is deteriorating. And actually, from the scientific standpoint, that is the best established law of all the sciences. It is observed that everything is losing its orchestration, and that points to the fact, if you just run the film backward and look at it, that means that in the past everything was more orchestrated. It was demonstration of design. If you take it back to the ultimate truth, that means that there was a point at which the entire universe was perfectly orchestrated. In fact, a very dear friend of mine, Dr. David Otway Ray, who was senior academician, Academy of Sciences, USSR, and a member of four other academies of science in the Eastern Bloc countries, a member of the Royal London Society in England, and a member of a number of scientific societies in the United States. One of the most brilliant men ever, Dr. David Otway Ray, is a personal friend of mine, and he was one to creation and ultimately to Jesus Christ from the very facts that you just pointed out. He found that the further back in time he went, the more refined and orchestrated the universe became, and ultimately, there was a point at which the universe was perfectly orchestrated, so he said it had to have an orchestrator.
Amen. Even I think Einstein would agree with that. E equals mc squared. We may get on that on another day, but today we're going to Israel with you. You know, a couple of years ago, maybe last year in Israel, I know we were in, I think it was the Oak Tree Hotel, and you were in the hotel next door, and I kept trying to see you, but I could never run you down because you were always off with those Israeli archaeologists. In fact, I think you're about the only archaeologist in the United States that they'll have anything to do with.
Well, some of them. There is a small group of very highly credentialed archaeologists that have shown tremendous favor to me because they want access to the technology I hold patents on, which have to do with the creation model and ultimately will benefit Israel and hopefully mankind. Plus, I take with me on these trips highly credentialed individuals, NASA engineers, NASA scientists, credentialed archaeologists, and we've been in on some very important discoveries and observations, and it's an incredibly gratifying thing. Just boarding the plane to Israel is an exciting venture itself.
Yes. Once you get to New York, you're pretty safe, aren't you?
But there is a hitch in New York. Now, Israel is not only the apple of God's eye, it's the heartbeat of God Himself, because He sent His Son to Israel and experienced humankind on their soil And history revolves around that little nation, Israel.
But your archaeology experiences in Israel, uncovering tremendous, tremendous evidences that the Bible is accurate historically and according to archaeology, that when they say this building was in Israel or that building or this site was in Israel, it's there. And that proves, or helps to prove, that the Bible is accurate and can be depended on in all its different areas, according to history, archaeology, science, rulers. It's just a tremendous thing you're doing.
Well, thank you. And, of course, archaeology is an established science. Dr. Hutchings, I will never forget when I got a call from one of the leaders in Israel, not a leader in political realm, but academic leader in Israel. I'll never forget when I got a call and he said, "Are you sitting down?" And I said, "Yes, I had to sit down to get to the telephone." And he said, "We have just discovered the pool of Siloam. We call it Siloam. They call it Siloam." He said, "Your friend Eli Shukran just discovered the pool of Siloam where Jesus healed the man born blind." Now, Dr. Hutchings, here is an Israeli scholar, a man who has been a part of the history of Israel, making a call to me, referring to the discovery of a pool and referring to Jesus honorably and admitting that he healed the man born blind. That within itself is an amazing experience. He said, "We have just discovered the pool of Siloam." And I said, "Well, now, wait a minute. I thought we already had the pool of Siloam at the end of Hezekiah's tunnel." And this scholar said to me, "We've known for generations that that retaining basin at the end of Hezekiah's tunnel was not the pool of Siloam. It was simply a retaining basin." He said, "We were still looking for the place where Jesus healed the man born blind, and now we have found it." And he said, "We want you and your group to hurry to Israel so he can help us excavate it." And we had the tremendous privilege under the Department of Antiquities to actually participate in that excavation. But now, in that excavation, discoveries were made that led their scholars to follow a pavement. And I was there, and Eli Shukran came to me and he said, "Now here's what we think. We're going to follow this pavement and I'll keep you informed." They followed the pavement at the top of the pool of Siloam, and it passed by certain pillars that had been thrown down in the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus Vespasian in 70 AD. And then I was there a few months later, and Eli Shukran said, "We're now turning the corner. We see where this pavement leads up some steps up to the temple site." And he said, "I want you to excavate with me the first foot or so." So I did, and what an incredible privilege that was. And with me was Robert Summers, the world-famous artist, and we excavated a bit of the turn. So then they found, they followed that pavement leading directly up to the temple, and there were three steps and then a pavement, three steps and a pavement, etc. But there was a puzzle, Dr. Hutchings, that they couldn't solve. They assumed that that was the pavement the blind man came down to wash in the pool, along with tens and hundreds of thousands of other pilgrims at the Passover time who had to ceremonially wash in this large pool and then return back to the temple. So they assumed that it was the same pavement, but there was a problem, because that pavement, going once it leveled and headed toward the pool, headed east toward the pool, passed an area of latrine. And that was a puzzle to them, because that was totally unkosher, absolutely necessary, but totally unkosher. Once you washed in the pool ceremonially, you could not pass such an area. So they then began to look, and they found another opening. They found that the pavement with the steps they had been excavating was the western pavement, passing the latrine area on the way to the pool. Just east of the latrine area, they found another pavement opening, and they started to excavate that. I was there when they first broke through, and they, Eli Shukran smiled and said, "We have now found the eastern pavement." So the pilgrims visiting the temple area before going in would come down the western pavement side, and he said, "That's the side that the blind man went through, came down, washed in the pool. Once he was healed, he and the other pilgrims, if they were going to worship in the temple, could not pass the latrine area. They went up the eastern pavement, and it went directly to the temple site. Now, they have not excavated it yet all the way to the temple site, but it's east, and as you know, that's very significant. But here is what I wanted to tell this audience. I was there a few months ago, and the scholars took me and said, "We want to show you what we have just discovered." They began to notice the further they excavated that eastern pavement leading back up to the temple, there were some of the beautiful pavement stones disrupted. So they went through those stones and found a shaft. Higher up, they found that shaft continued, and the stones had been violently broken out. What they found was that, consistent with the description of Josephus, 3,000 Jews in 70 AD at the time of the destruction had found themselves in the burning fires of Jerusalem, and that shaft was under the kosher pavement because the shaft itself was kosher, even though it included the blood and the ashes of sacrifices. They were kosher, they were sacred. So that was the shaft that led from the temple area under this eastern pavement all the way down to empty into Hinnom Valley. So the shaft itself was big enough for an individual stooped over to get in. 3,000 Jews hid in that shaft with a single vessel, a little pot, each one with food stuff, hoping to get past the Roman soldiers to escape due south into the Hinnom Valley. But the Romans found them inside there, massacred all 3,000 of them, burning most of them alive. And they have retrieved those pots that are seared and burned. They retrieved some of the bones of these martyred Jews. The heart of God felt all of this destruction. But now I want to tell you about another discovery in the Golan. Dr. Hutchings, this discovery is of major import. All of these discoveries are of major import. This discovery is in an area not too far from Zipporah. At Zipporah, that's the area where Mary's parents lived, and a synagogue was there. And then there is a beautiful home, the remnants of a beautiful home, and the parlor pavements of that home. In that home, there's a mosaic, or in what's left of the foundation of the home, in the parlor area. It was a gorgeous Roman home from the indications. In that pavement, in ceramic, there's the Mona Lisa of the Middle East, a gorgeous portrayal of a lovely lady, and in the background, various tapestry, the lady's face, and in the background, various tapestries. But on that pavement, Dr. Lee Lorenzen pointed out to me, "Look, there's a fish. That fish is a coelacanth." Now, wait a moment. That is of major import, because according to the theory of evolution, The coelacanth died over 60 million years ago. He was a fish with lower, very hard fins, and he supposedly died over 60 million years ago, disappeared from Earth history. Yet, he is represented there as a living fish among other fish. That's marvelous. But not only that, over in the corner, they pointed out to us a beautiful mosaic on this floor pattern of a man, a strong man, holding a huge boulder and throwing it on a creature. That creature on which he's throwing this huge boulder is a Ceratosaurus dinosaur. Scales, head protrusions, horns, and all. A Ceratosaurus dinosaur. So they represented living systems here on the floor among certain other mythological symbols, but they represent that dinosaur and that coelacanth in a living context as if they were alive in the history of Israel. Well, now, wait a moment. According to the theory of evolution, that coelacanth died out over 60 million years ago. According to the theory of evolution, that dinosaur died out almost 100 million years ago. And yet, they are here represented in a living context, even with the coloration of their skin. That's marvelous. Now there's a new discovery. Not far from Zipporah, in the Golan, not too far from Nazareth, they've known about the ruins for decades, the ruins of a synagogue in an area with a pool and some arches. The area is named, the synagogue is named, the Synagogue of the Arches. They're beautiful arches. But in 739 A.D., a terrible earthquake devastated that synagogue. And the pillars collapsed, the roof collapsed, everything just collapsed straight down so that there's been very little pillage, if any. But now they have erected a long 90-foot crane over the remains, the debris, and they have used lasers to pinpoint every single stone and photographic equipment to pinpoint everything in high resolution. So as they reach down from this long crane system from retrieval process, and they take one stone out at a time, they can photograph and diagram exactly where it came from so they can restore the synagogue without modern materials. There is a law that you cannot use modern materials for restoration. You can only use what is there in restoring the original. As they went down a couple of layers in this debris, Dr. Hutchings, they found the base of a pillar that had bas-relief of two dinosaurs. One appears to be Tyrannosaurus rex. Two dinosaurs attacking a horse. Here we have a living context of these dinosaurs that supposedly died out almost 100 million years ago, according to evolutionary theory. Yet we find them in a living context along with modern mammals. Now, Dr. Ernst Mayr, a leading evolutionary scholar, admitted that if we could prove that dinosaurs lived along with mammals, major mammals, like horses in particular, that that would devastate the theory of evolution, because he never expected that we would. Here we have extant archaeological scientific information that horses and dinosaurs lived at the same time, and that man was there to observe what was going on as these two ferocious dinosaurs attacked this horse. So we're talking about major archaeological discoveries in Israel. Again, Israel is the heartbeat of God, because through Israel, God inspired His Word. All writers of the Scripture were, as you know, either Israeli or under the supervision of an Israeli theologian. Peter being one of those, and Luke being non-Israeli, yet he was under the supervision of those who were. God used Israel to not only inspire the Word, but to preserve the Word. God gave the Israelis, particularly those who are of Levitical origin, God gave them a concern for the Bible, so that sometime they're so picky, we get irritated with them. But over the centuries, we can see how God used this particular characteristic of counting letters and counting numbers and making sure that every word and every sentence, every line, and every book was precisely like the one it was copied from. So God used them not only in inspiring the Word to receive the Word of God, but to preserve the Word of God. God used Israel to demonstrate His love and concern for all mankind.
Thank you, Dr. Ball. Certainly, you are absolutely correct. Of course, Israel did not know the time of their visitation, but Jesus said He would come back when they would say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That day is coming, and we thank God for that. Now, again, I would encourage those listening to get a copy of the programs this week on CD or cassette. Also, remember Dr. Ball's books, Why Do Men Believe Evolution Against All Odds, and The Panorama of Creation. And Dr. Ball will be back with us on the program tomorrow, so you be listening.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Much of what you just heard is not in either of the books we're offering this week. The information is that new. And that's why you'll want to be sure to call, write, or visit the website for the 5 programs on tape or CD. All of them, of course, are important, but this one is extra special, and it's included. The gift amount for the programs on 3 CDs or 3 cassette tapes is $20. But don't miss the books either. Why Do Men Believe Evolution Against All Odds is a 160-page hardback filled with valuable documented information, full-color photographs, and charts. Get it for a gift of $20. Panorama of Creation is perhaps the most popular book Dr. Ball has written. As he said Monday, he believes upwards of 400,000 of the books have been disseminated, so you may already have it. If not, get it for an offering of $10. Better yet, get both books when you make a contribution of $25. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. No matter how you contact us, please give us the call letters of this station. We're evaluating response at the beginning of the year, and the only way we know you're listening is for you to tell us. So if you want this program to continue on your station, let us know. Get the facts about creation and evolution from Dr. Ball's 2 books, Panorama of Creation, for a gift of $10. Why Do Men Believe Evolution Against All Odds, in appreciation of a $20 offering, or both for a gift of $25. If you want more than one copy of each book, call for the gift amount. And don't forget the tapes or CDs for a contribution of $20. It's time for a Bible in the News report over most of these stations. Join Brother Hutchings and Dr. Ball tomorrow for another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. I'm Jerry Geltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. The coming of a new year brings with it a sense of renewal and hope for better times. Yet some of the baggage of the previous 12 months crawls under the curtain separating it from the coming year. Certainly one of the behemoths of 2007 that will not go away is the global warming frenzy, and its insistence that the warming is a result of what man has and is doing. In spite of hundreds of prominent scientists disputing that notion, we are quite sure we will hear much more about the issue, As 2007 was coming to a close, however, 400 scientists said global warming is not man-made. We're quoting from U.S. Senate Committee on Environmental and Public Works website, December 20th, 2007. Quote, over 400 prominent scientists from more than two dozen countries recently voiced significant objections to a major aspect of the so-called consensus on man-made global warming. These scientists, many of whom are current and former participants in the UNIPCC, that's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, criticized the climate claims made by the UNIPCC and former Vice President Al Gore. The new report issued by the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee's office of the GOP ranking member details the views of the scientists, the overwhelming majority of whom spoke out in 2007. Even some in the establishment media now appear to be taking notice of the growing number of skeptical scientists. In October, the Washington Post staff writer Juliet Eilperin conceded the obvious, writing that climate skeptics appear to be expanding rather than shrinking. Many scientists from around the world have dubbed 2007 as the year man-made global warming fears bite the dust. In addition, many scientists who are also progressive environmentalists believe climate fear promotion has co-opted the green movement. This blockbuster Senate report lists the scientists by name, country of residence, and academic institutional affiliation. It also features their own words, biographies, and web links to their peer-reviewed studies and original source materials. Close quotes. One would think with hundreds of respected scientists who discount man's role in global warming that those who have been beating the drum to raise our taxes to stop global warming would wane. We will watch carefully to see if that happens. In the meantime, we know what the Bible says about climate and the seasons. We read, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." That's from Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And that's today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports, as well as questions and answers, are published each month in a booklet. To get a copy of that booklet, call, write, or visit our website. Please include a gift of $3 to cover shipping and handling. Call 1-800-652-1144. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report or question and answer.